Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us here on the Big X. We do this show each weekday live at 11 a.m. Complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And a lot of fun last night. If you were with us at Bear Nose, thank you. We had a huge crowd, lots and lots of Providence baseball fans and parents and players. We had great representation from Borden as well. It was a special edition of the High School Sports Report out at Bear Nose in New Albany. And we got a chance to hear from the head coaches, Coach Hutchins of Providence, Coach Stotts of Borden. We also got the opportunity to hear from four or five different players from each team in advance of the big games on Saturday. Both teams one game away from state championship affairs in Victory Field in Indianapolis. They both will play this weekend at Mooresville High School in semi-state baseball. 12:40, our pregame coverage on Saturday begins with our coverage of Borden against Shackamack. First pitch in that contest scheduled for 1 p.m. And then following that game, we'll head right into Providence coverage at the conclusion of the Borden game. Providence will take on University from Indianapolis. That game's scheduled to start at 3 p.m. I think it's unlikely it begins that soon to the Borden game. Probably will be more like 3:30 or so. But nonetheless, myself, P.K. Falkenstein, will be there all day for the semi-state baseball coverage here on the Big X. And we invite you to join us for that coverage if you can't make it up to the games in Mooresville. But lots of fun last night at Bear Nose. The podcast of that show will be available a little bit later this afternoon. If you missed it, you want to hear what the coaches and players had to say last night. But thanks to Bear Nose for having us out. Great atmosphere. And I tell you what, that place was rocking for a Wednesday night. We had a great live audience, and it was just fun, especially for the young athletes there last night. Lots of fun to know they've got the support of their respective communities and really Southern Indiana behind them as they move to a bigger stage even this weekend than what it was last Saturday in regional baseball. Let's look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just moments. We'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Later in the program, it's Thursday, so Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will be with me. Lots to talk about today with Alex from an IU basketball perspective. And then in the final segment today, we'll tune in to the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series coming up this weekend. In fact, last night, the junior and seniors had an exhibition game up at Brownsburg. We'll give you a recap of that coming up as well. But that's what we'll do today. The show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Lots to get to today with this coaching change, with Coach Woodson taking over. There have been a slow trickle of staff announcements and another staff announcement made yesterday official by Indiana. Mike Woodson has hired Armand Hill as the program's director of basketball administration. The release says that Hill brings close to 50 years of experience as a player and coach at the highest levels to Bloomington. He worked with Mike Woodson when he was the Los Angeles Clippers, when he was on the coaching staff there, from 2014 to 2018. But Armand, a former NBA player, has got just an unbelievable resume when you look at what he's done as an assistant coach in the NBA, as some other stops in the game of basketball, and who he's worked with, just amazing. It's not just Mike Woodson, but he's worked with Doc Rivers and Terry Stotts, who, of course, is from Indiana as well, that most recently was the Trailblazers coach out in Portland. But just an unbelievable resume, and this is a guy that's not coming to be an assistant coach or coming to recruit players necessarily. He's coming to be director of basketball administration. So one thing that's interesting to me, we'll talk with Alex about this a little bit later, I think everybody is sold on the assistant coaching staff that Mike Woodson has. Dane Fife obviously has the connections to Indiana. He's proven himself at the high major level at Michigan State as the associate head coach for Tom Izzo. Lots of excitement about bringing him back to Bloomington. And the other guys, Kenya Hunter, I think it's clear his recruiting connections and what he's been able to do in his time in college basketball, very impressive. And then Coach Rosemond as well, he's somebody that I think is younger and connected to other areas that can help this Indiana program. He's a proven recruiter as well and kind of brings even more youthfulness to the staff. So I think everybody feels good before the first game's ever been played with this IU coaching staff and their ability to recruit, their ability to develop players. I think they've got a track record of being able to do that. So no surprise there that things are going well in this offseason time for the coaches. But to me, it's the support staff. Some of the positions, we don't even talk much about Thad Mata, who's an associate AD for men's basketball. And now someone like Armon Hill that has been at the highest level, that is coming in just as a basketball administration guy to help this program. So these players and this coaching staff, they are surrounded by just so much talent from the basketball world. And again, they're guys coming in to take, I don't want to call them lowly positions, because I'm sure all these jobs pay well, and they all are very meaningful and carry some clout, especially at Indiana. But he's bringing in, Woodson is bringing in guys with big names and big resumes to take jobs that are kind of on down the line a little bit, to be quite honest. So very impressive, not just the assistant coaching staff that Mike Woodson has assembled, but all of the support staff around him as well. He's got a good mix of newcomers. He's got a good mix of some people that were retained from the previous staffs for continuity and for carryover. And just a lot of things, to me, when we look at it from an outside perspective, makes sense about this staff that Mike Woodson has. But Armon Hill yesterday announced as director of basketball administration for the IU basketball program. Also yesterday, we're in that off-season mode with official workouts beginning later in the week and most of the players back in Bloomington now, it seems. We looked at Cliff Marshall for a lot of off-season updates, the strength and conditioning, the athletic performance coach for IU men's basketball, and he tweeted yesterday, "History was made today in Bloomington. Freshman Tamar Bates and Logan Duncombe completed the first workout of their college career." He went on to say, "I'm excited to watch these guys grow in mind, body, and spirit." And there was a picture of Coach Marshall in between Bates and Duncombe standing in front of one of the weight machines. And again, we've seen pictures of results of what Coach Marshall can get done with incoming freshmen that are willing to put in the work in the offseason. The before and after pictures from this time of the summer until late into the fall are sometimes just very impressive, and the change in bodies for some of these guys, which again, in the physical Big Ten Conference, is very important. So Cliff Marshall striking early here in this offseason. He's a guy to follow and a guy that I know we'll talk about in the offseason, because he always shares updates on players. And again, sometimes it's just not what they're doing or a picture of them working out, which can only mean so much, but it's the before and after photos where you realize what is being accomplished and what some of these guys are getting done in the offseason to help this team in the Big Ten Conference for next season. Also last night, the Indiana Senior-Junior All-Star Exhibition was at Brownsburg High School in Indianapolis, and of course a lot of attention on that boys' game, which was the nightcap. I tell you what, at halftime, I was following from afar. The seniors ahead 56-55 over the juniors. So a one-point lead for the Indiana All-Stars, who are going to take on Kentucky later in the week, once in Owensboro, Kentucky, and then the return game on Saturday at Southport High School. But the second half, a different story. The senior team outscored the juniors 71-51, and some of our locals had nice performances, especially Trey Kaufman-Wren. He and Mr. Basketball Caleb First each had 22 points in the contest last night to lead the seniors, but it was Blake Wesley from South Bend Riley that had 24 points as the leading scorer in the game. Other performers locally, Cooper Jacoby just with 2 points. Jalen Blackman, of course, we know that Blackman name very well. He had 17 points last night for the seniors. The juniors, some local names there as well. Brandon Northern, he had 8 points. Will Lovings-Watts contributed 2 points for the juniors last night. And Jalen Jackson and Leland Walker, they were the two leading performers for the juniors. Walker had 24 points. Jackson had 20 last night. Another name of interest from that junior roster, of course, is C.J. Gunn from Lawrence North. He had 6 points in the junior-senior exhibition last night for the junior all-star team. So that's a recap there. The seniors won big, 127-106, but it was a real challenge early on from the juniors, who trailed by just one at halftime. On the girls' side of things, much more of a comfortable win for the senior girls from Indiana. They were winners 94-69 over the juniors, leading the way in that senior contest. Really balanced scoring for the seniors last night. Jayla Smith had 16. Meg Newman had 14 points. A number of other players also in double figures for the seniors as well. But on the junior side of things, locally, we were represented by Kennedy Striverson. She turned in 8 points last night for the juniors, who again fell 94-69 up in Brownsburg. That's basically it this year for the junior teams. Normally, you get a chance to see the juniors later in the week take on the Kentucky All-Stars in a two-game series. So you get the same type of matchup the seniors have later in the week. But this year, with COVID, both groups electing to just go with senior All-Stars and kind of, I don't want to say dumb down the series, but not as much this year as what normally you would expect with this Indiana-Kentucky series. I really like that junior series between the two states. I think it's been a good addition to the games, and hopefully they return back to that next season as things get closer and closer to normalcy in the world and, of course, in sports as well. But some locals last night, with good performance, the senior all-star teams, both of them, the boys and girls, with good performances as well. I really look for Indiana to be very successful this weekend when they take on Kentucky, especially on the boys' side. But the girls, very talented as well. We'll see if this Kentucky team Friday in Owensboro can give Indiana anything, can give them a matchup, can keep it close as things play out this weekend in the annual Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, which, by the way, it's another thing back after last year. It was so weird in the summer months to not have a busy basketball time with June Summer League basketball, with the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series in June. None of the July live period events, the travel, the grassroots basketball was off for the most part last year as well. But slowly getting back to it, and the return of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, just kind of a reminder of that as well. One other headline I wanted to mention, I saw a story yesterday in the Boston Sports Journal that the headline, Aaron Nesmith and Romeo Langford for the Celtics could be the most important players next season. Now, the story went on to explain, obviously, Nesmith and Langford aren't going to be the most important players as far as the contributors, the leading scorers, things of that nature. But with the close to the season that Langford had, he could be somebody that is expected to step into more of a key role next year in what's going to be year three for him. And he could be somebody that's expected to maybe score a little bit more, and somebody that with the good defense he showed at times could maybe be a stopper for the Boston team. And so some really good words about Romeo in the offseason so far. Brad Stevens, before he stepped out to the front office as coach of the Celtics, when he still was the coach, he had some very good comments at the end of the year when he was asked about Romeo as far as using this momentum he had in those final few games to build for next season. And it still sounds like, again, we're looking at this from the outside in, but it still sounds like Romeo Langford has a place and is a wanted player in Boston and is someone that they are planning to the future with. And so this offseason will be big for Romeo. I am curious and need to check on this. Will Romeo play in the NBA Summer League this year? Will they have that? Will they get back to some normalcy there? And if so, is he somebody that would benefit from some major minutes and a whole different look at what his role would be on a summer league team for the Celtics than what it will be next year, even with maybe an increased role for the Celtics. So, but Romeo Langford, he's one of the players, I think you'd say, that's trending upwards for the Celtics in the offseason when you think about what he could contribute or be asked to do next season for the Celtics, who, by the way, have not hired a new coach yet, but there are all sorts of rumors about different names that Brad Stevens, who's now president of basketball operations, is interested in or has met with. It kind of reminds me of the IU coaching search. IU fans crazy about basketball and their sports year-round. Celtics fans, despite maybe some not as good years for the storied franchise, they still really follow this stuff very closely. The Celtics diehards in Boston do, and all sorts of rumors and reports about who the next Boston Celtic coach will be. So we'll keep an eye on that just from a Romeo Langford perspective to see who the new coach of the Celtics could be that will be working with Romeo into the future. That's a look at our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League action. Another big, big night tonight in New Albany at three locations. Games start in two gyms at New Albany High School at 3:30 today. Games start at Hazelwood, two gyms, also 3:30 today. And at Scribner Middle School, just across town in New Albany, games on two courts at 4:30 today. Lots of good matchups. New Albany will open the day at the high school. They'll take on South Dearborn at 3:30. And then New Albany returns for a 4:30 matchup against Manuel, one of their varsity teams. So South Dearborn, New Albany starting the day. Providence takes on South Dearborn later at New Albany. Jeffersonville takes on South Dearborn later at New Albany. Mail will come across with Caleb Glenn. We heard from him about him earlier in the week from Coach Hayworth over at Mail. The Mail Bulldogs take on Madison at 7:30. Here's a big game tonight, Jeffersonville against Mail. You'll see Will Lovings Watts and Brandon Razor Moore take on Caleb Glenn and Mail. That's a can't-miss game at 8:30 tonight at New Albany High School. At Hazelwood, you'll see Christian Academy of Indiana in action. Southwestern, Jennings County, Shaw Memorial, Brown from Louisville, Tell City, Crothersville, and more. And then over at Scribner, Ballard and Doss and North Harrison, St. X, Floyd Central, and a big matchup at 8:30 over at Scribner. St. X will come across to take on Floyd Central. That should be a really good matchup in summer league basketball coming up here tonight. And again, admission is $2, and your stamp you receive is good for all three locations, so you can move about throughout the afternoon and the evening. But another big, big night of summer league basketball at New Albany, Hazelwood, and Scribner this evening. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, the latest on IU basketball. New hire for Coach Woodson, a director of basketball administration. Armand Hill is filling that position. We found out yesterday the players are getting together for summer workouts. They're already working out, it seems, with Cliff Marshall in the weight room. We'll cover that and more. I'm sure we'll talk about the Bahamas trip as well coming up in August for the Hoosiers, all with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back on this Thursday show, Alex Bozich inside the hall, my guest. We talk IU basketball each week in this segment. And Alex, another addition to the support staff of Coach Mike Woodson. Yesterday, we learned that Armand Hill, who has lots of NBA experience as a former player and former coach, is coming to Bloomington as the director of basketball administration.
Yeah, it's. I was talking yesterday on my podcast. It seems like the news never really slows down in terms of IU basketball. And as you mentioned, Matt, there's another addition to the coaching staff. This kind of just reinforces what we've talked about for a lot of this offseason, that I think it's been a priority for Scott Dolson on down in the department to have a great infrastructure of people in the basketball program. And I think as much experience that you can bring, surround yourself with people who have won at the highest level and been involved with the game, in the game at the highest level, you know, the better. And I think, you know, this is obviously somebody that Mike Woodson has a lot of respect for, been friends with for a long time, and thinks that he can help him add value. So I think it's a great move, you know, kind of on paper, and we'll see. You know, I don't know exactly. You know, one thing I've been asked, and I don't really know the answer to this specifically. I'm sure something we'll learn more about over time is just what exactly all of these different roles encompass, because it definitely feels like there's more folks involved than there were previously under Archie Miller. So I think people are curious just kind of what the day-to-day operations will look like, and having Thad Matta involved and this hire and some of the other folks that have been brought on. It'll just be interesting to see how it all comes together. But definitely from an experience standpoint and somebody that Mike Woodson has a lot of respect for and wants to work with, I think this is a good move.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. I mentioned this in the first segment, and I'm curious your thoughts, because nowadays at a high major program, when a new coach is hired, you see a lot of people making splashes with who they are able to land as their assistant coaches, and I thought Indiana did a terrific job of that. Dane Fife, obviously very experienced in the Big Ten, a former IU guy. There was a big desire to bring former players home during this coaching search, and that happened with Coach Woodson at the helm, and of course Dane Fife coming in a very key role as assistant coach. The other coaches, Kenya Hunter retained. He's known as a great recruiter. He works with big men. He did that at UConn. He's done that some at Indiana. And then Coach Rosemond also, he's kind of got a young, hip reputation in college hoops as being a great recruiter and somebody that's maybe a star of tomorrow. So I thought it was a grand slam, really, for Mike Woodson with his coaching staff, with the guys that will lead practices and help with development and do the boatload of the recruiting. But to me, what's so impressive, even a step further than his coaching staff, his assistants, is some of the names and some of the experienced people he's been able to bring in to basically his support staff. And I know those jobs at IU pay well, so those guys are getting nice salaries and benefits and all those sorts of things. But he's been able to bring in guys that have big names in the game, and they're not even coaches. They're support staff people like Armand Hill yesterday.
Yeah, I think that speaks more to Mike Woodson being able to connect with people and the fact that he's got a lot of friends in the business, people that have enjoyed being around him and getting to know him over a long period of time. I know just from talking to some people, you know, and you saw it on social media when he left the Knicks this year. He was only an assistant coach, but all those players and all those other coaches really have a lot of love for Mike Woodson. And I think anytime you've worked in the NBA for as long as you have, you're going to develop, or as long as he has, and he's going to develop contacts over a long period of time and a lot of people that he's friends with. And I think this hire specifically speaks to that. So yeah, it's been impressive. I think it's been great for the program just to get an off season with all of this positive news and positive momentum. You have the trip in the Bahamas now to look forward to. You have, you know, Tamar Bates coming in. That's, you know, that's not something that was expected when Mike Woodson took over, but he's a kid now coming in that a lot of people are excited about. And you just have a renewed sense of optimism that hasn't been there really in three years. I'd say going into the Romeo season was the last time it really felt like this. And so just across the board, I mean, we'll see how everybody reacts, you know, once Indiana inevitably loses a few games. But, I think Indiana needs to use this opportunity to continue to engage the fan base and continue to get people excited about the direction of the program and all the good things going on right now.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. We're talking about the staff of Mike Woodson. Alex, this staff is busy. I know they have daily duties that are recruiting and working with players and getting everybody on campus right now. We'll get to that in just a moment. But man, these assistant coaches with the extra live periods that have been put in play for July are going to be extra busy this summer. Plus, after that concludes, just a month or two, once the live period comes to a close, you've got the Bahamas trip. So to be an IU coach or a member of the support staff, I'm sure it's a great deal. I'm sure those guys are going at it hard every day. But, boy, some long, long days ahead this offseason to get this program where it needs to be for next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good, though, for everybody. I think, you know, in general, people are really routine-based, and they want to get back to doing the things that they're used to doing. And for coaches, this time of year is generally spent on, you know, working with your team and then getting out on the road recruiting. And they didn't have that last year. Obviously, Yasir Roseman wasn't coaching last season, but I'm sure he missed being out and being able to watch kids. I know Dane Fife and Kenya Hunter, you know, they've been assistant coaches for a long time. They know that this time of year, that's what you do. So I think it's going to be, you know, it's busy. You got all these kids now starting to come back on campus for visits. You have to get your schedule lined up for what you're going to do in later this month with the Scholastic events. And then in July with some of the grassroots events, you have to be prepared for all that. But I think it's good. You know, they've had this time to kind of acclimate themselves and get used to being at Indiana again. For Dane Fife and Mike Woodson and obviously Yasir Roseman getting his getting all of his bearings straight and kind of learning what it's like to be at Indiana. But now they're going to actually be able to start doing some of the things that are really a part of their everyday job. And for the assistant coaches, that's player development this summer, working with the team, getting ready for this Bahamas trip, and also getting out and recruiting. So I think it's going to be an exciting couple of months for those people being able to get back to what they do and what they love.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, my guest. Your thoughts on the Bahamas trip? Obviously, I think it's very good move by Coach Woodson and IU to get this in, given it's his first year and there's so much work to be done, so many newcomers in the offseason, whether it's incoming transfers or whether it's people, you know, two freshmen, Tamar Bates and Logan Duncombe. So I think it makes sense, but your thoughts on what Indiana could accomplish or will look to accomplish in these extra practices they get leading up to the Bahamas trip and, of course, the two games they'll play there against what looks like to be pretty solid competition.
Yeah, I mean, I think you make you bring up the practices, Matt. I think that's the key here. I mean, obviously the games are important to an extent because it gives you kind of a baseline to look at things and then have something that can kind of carry you through the fall, film that you can show players and teach them different things and kind of go back and review, like, this is kind of what we saw from this player, what we need to work on in the fall as we ramp up the season. You can start to get some of those team concepts in. But I'm not sure it's as much about the games for Indiana as it is about the practices. And the fact that they're going to get these extra practices, I think that's going to be really valuable going into, you know, a new regime, being able to have that extra time for teaching and starting to get those concepts installed, learning more about the offense, you know, the defense, all the different things that Mike Woodson wants to implement. I think those practices are going to be valuable. You know, it's interesting to me that they're only playing two games and they're playing the same team twice, and this team looks pretty good. I figured they'd maybe throw in a third game, maybe against like a lesser team, just to make sure, you know, they go down there and get a win. I'm not saying they're going to go down there and get beat, but I'm just looking at kind of the background of this team and who they have had with them in recent seasons. They've had some pretty good players. I don't know what their complement of players is going to be in terms of availability, who they're going to be bringing to the Bahamas. But it's, you know, on paper, it looks like a pretty ambitious thing for Indiana to go out with all of these new players, a new coach, a new system, and try to play against there's going to be some grown men on this team. I mean, they had Scoochie Smith, who played point guard for Archie Miller at Dayton. He was a part of their team last year. So this is not going to be assuming that they're bringing many of their best guys, it's not going to be a walkover. And I don't know if the opponent had to do with more of just like who was available. I know a lot of different places around the world are still in different stages in terms of COVID restrictions and travel and just how the nature of the pandemic in different places in the world. Obviously here in the U.S. it's gotten a lot better. So I don't know what kind of impact that had on who they were able to get, but on paper to me, it's interesting. I think that they're going to be in some, I'm not saying in trouble, but I think these are going to be, much more of a challenge than say what we saw in Montreal back in 2014. Indiana, if you remember, went up there, played five games, and they played two pretty good teams. They lost one of those games, but then they had three other games where it was competition where they more or less could just show up and beat them. And so interesting strategy to only play two games, and we'll see how it works out.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, this BC mega team from Serbia that the Hoosiers are set to play twice in the Bahamas trip, is that I know that's a club, a European club that plays, has teams that play in the European leagues, but the team they bring, will that be one of their teams participating in their club in these leagues, professional leagues, or I wonder if it's like a scrimmage team that they too put together?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly on that. I'm sure it's not going to be hard for them to find volunteers to come to the Bahamas for a couple of days. So I would think that they would give some of their better players the opportunity if they wanted to come. But with all these things, I think there's probably going to be it's going to probably be a mix of some younger guys and then some more experienced guys. But if you know anything about basketball in Serbia, it's very good. And the other thing to consider here is I don't know exactly what rules they're going to be playing under. I assume they would play under the college basketball rules because this is Indiana's type of event. But the rules internationally, FIBA rules are different. So that'll be another interesting thing to follow. But I think it'll be one of those things where you find out the day of the game who they have available. I don't think it's going to be something where we're going to have like set rosters and know who what to expect. I think it's that to me why it could be interesting. Because if they do bring some of their more experienced, better guys, I think it could be an opportunity to have some really competitive games. The other thing is, to my knowledge, these teams, they're not governed by any rules in terms of practice time and how much they can prepare. So if they're really into it and preparing, they could also have a leg up on Indiana just in terms of all the time they've had previously to work together and kind of having that infrastructure of really a professional team that doesn't have to follow the rules in terms of practice time and how much time they get to work together leading into the event.
Alex, I want to talk about some of the new faces for the Hoosiers next year. Xavier Johnson, Miller Kopp, of course, both of those guys, transfers that Indiana was able to land out of the transfer portal. Then Tamar Bates, an incoming freshman that really has high marks on a national level. It seems like we talk so much about him, even as a freshman coming into the program. But all three of those guys recently have done interviews. Some have been done with A.J. Guyton, former IU player, on a video podcast that he has, but it's been nice to hear from some of the new faces. Anything you heard or you learned from those guys that stood out to you in some of these early interviews in their IU career?
Well, I've just been impressed with the perspective that a lot of them have. I interviewed Miller Kopp myself before he committed and then after he committed. And he's, you can tell, that there's a reason they wanted him, because I think from a locker room perspective and just the experience that he brings, he's going to be an asset in many ways. Joey Brunk was kind of that, for Indiana previously, a really good locker room guy, a leader. I think Miller Kopp is in many ways that. Xavier Johnson to me seems very hungry to kind of get away from being a great stats guy on bad teams, because really when you look at what he did at Pitt, he was a great stats guy, but his team never won at a level that really got him noticed nationally. It's one thing to put up numbers, but if you do it on a bad team, people are gonna kind of be a little bit skeptical. But I think he wants to now be a guy that plays in turn on a winning team and gets to the NCAA tournament. So I think he's very much coming in with the mindset that this is more about winning than boosting Xavier Johnson's stock or his stats or anything like that. So I think he's very focused on that. And Tamar Bates, just listening to him talk and his perspective, he doesn't seem like a freshman. He's definitely somebody who has been raised by a great family. Is a guy that is very thoughtful with his comments. He's been obviously through a lot with his recruitment, having kind of had to make this switch. And I think he was very intentional about why he wanted to pick Indiana. There's some things that are important to him in terms of the atmosphere that he wanted to be a part of. And he felt that family atmosphere with Indiana. So I think he's a guy that people are excited about, and I think once they get to know him a little bit more and get to watch him play, I think they're going to be even more excited about him. I don't think it's any coincidence that his ranking kind of jumped up here late in the year. He definitely feels like he's a player on the rise and a player that's going to have a big impact next season as a freshman. So, this isn't necessarily something that's specific to Indiana now, kind of under Mike Woodson, but really since I've been covering the team going back to 2007, you know, the one thing I will say, you know, Indiana hasn't won maybe at the level that fans expect, and obviously they want to win more games, but they've done a really good job for the most part of bringing in really good individual people that are good representatives of the program. Obviously, there's been exceptions to that, and guys have made mistakes off the court, years ago, and in different situations didn't work out. And there's always going to be cases where young people make mistakes. But I think in general, and I think you're going to see this continue under Mike Woodson, they're really going to be focused on getting good players, but they're also going to be really focused on getting people that fit the culture and people that are going to represent Indiana well. And Mike Woodson, I think that's really important to him because obviously he went to Indiana, and a lot of things that he's been able to accomplish in his life, he credits that to his background at IU and kind of what he went through under Coach Knight and people that different people helped him along the way. And I think he wants to carry that forward and bring in people that have the same kind of mindset. And so I think, you know, long answer to your question there, Matt, but I think all three of those guys that you mentioned have been just very impressive just listening to them talk, and I think they're going to be tremendous assets to the program. May have different impacts in terms of what they do statistically, but I think all three are really good guys that people are going to grow to love once they get to know them a little bit better.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hulk. Alex, a couple recruiting-oriented questions for you before we wrap the segment up. C.J. Gunn last night had 6 points as the junior All-Stars trailed by just one at halftime and then lost somewhat handily to the senior team that will play Kentucky this weekend. CJ is a solid player, but he's not always a big scorer. I mean, at times for Lawrence North, he had just big outputs and was really filling it up from outside. But in an all-star game like last night, although it was a competitive game, I mean, it's a game where you want to try to win. It's not just a showboat game. Only 6 points, some other juniors far ahead of him in the scoring column. Any thoughts on other juniors out there maybe that remain uncommitted or that Indiana could swoop in on here, even though their priorities seem to be with a lot of out-of-state guys, and rightfully so right now? The junior class isn't what the senior class is or what some of the other recent classes that have went through the Hoosier State have been. But is there anybody else out there when you look through the box score and through the game last night that stands out in that junior class?
Not really, and I don't get the sense really that there's going to be – I mean, obviously Jalen Washington's a guy, but he didn't play last night, that Indiana's I don't know what kind of their standing is with him. It's going to be pretty ultra competitive, I feel like, to get him, but he's a guy you have to stick it out with and do your best to try to work your way in there, maybe get a visit and see what happens. But beyond that, you know, it seems more to me like they're focusing their efforts kind of out of state. And I really think that's probably sound strategy. Now, could somebody have a good summer and blow up kind of and go into the fall, and maybe somebody raises their profile a little bit, opens eyes, and they get a chance to watch a couple guys a little bit more and get more interested? That's certainly a possibility. But right now, it feels like more like, you know, they've got CJ Gunn committed. I think Jalen Washington's the guy that they'll obviously continue to monitor and see kind of what develops there. But beyond that, I don't really know that I see a big pursuit of the rest of the junior class. I mean, that's, you know, the in-state recruiting thing, it's great when you have a lot of great players in a class and you can kind of fill your roster up with two or three in a given class and you feel like they're going to be impact guys. But, that's, I think, the important thing about getting this staff in place that has connections in different areas of the country in a recruiting cycle like this, or maybe you don't have that top end talent, where you feel like you're going to be able to really build your class around in-state kids, to be able to go out across the country. And we're going to start to see that, I guess, beginning today. They're going to have a kid on campus for an official visit, and then I think three more scheduled the rest of the month, and I would expect more to be added as time goes along here. So I think more or less this class is going to be a little bit more focused, obviously, on recruiting out of the state. And that's not to say that in future classes that Indiana is not going to make inside the borders, you know, a big priority, because I do think they are. But I think you can't just recruit kids because they're from Indiana. They have to be good enough, obviously, to play in your system. They have to be good fits. And this class just, to me, doesn't seem maybe as deep as what we've seen in previous years.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. I was going to head there with official visits. Caleb Banks is actually on campus today. This is the a one-day official visit. It's been reported for him in Bloomington. A little bit about him. He's got a number of schools after him: Alabama, Clemson, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Mississippi State, South Florida, Virginia Tech, and Xavier all joined the Hoosiers in pursuit of him from Fayette County, Georgia. So 6'8", 215 pounds. That catches your attention.
Yeah, and he's a guy that, just from talking to him back in April when they offered, has a really strong relationship with Yasiah Roseman. That's really the first thing that stood out to me. So that was kind of a pre-existing relationship that I think Indiana's going to try to leverage. I think he's a kid. He's not ranked as high as maybe his talent suggests he should be, but I think that is more of a function of the missed time that we had last summer in terms of being able to make evaluations. He plays for the Atlanta Celtics, I believe, and if he has a good summer, I think he's going to be a guy that's going to end up shooting up the rankings. And with his size and versatility, I mean, you know, you can never have enough 6'7", 6'8", guys that can put the ball on the floor and also, you know, play and finish around the basket. And I think he's definitely a guy that's high on Indiana's list, a guy that they have put in time, obviously, these last couple months recruiting, and with Yasiah Roseman's relationship there. It'll be interesting to see how it all develops. But I know from talking to him a couple times, he's definitely excited about Indiana and the possibility of him playing there. And I do know that he mentioned that location really wasn't that big of a factor for him. So he may be a guy that Indiana is able to go in the South and get eventually to come up to Bloomington.
Talking to Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's with us Thursdays on the program. We cover all things IU basketball throughout the year, including this offseason, and there is plenty to chat about from a recruiting perspective. Of course, this month and next month, lots of official visits. Coaches will be on the road soon, and the Bahamas trip for the Hoosiers just around the corner. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat. Keep up the good content, and we'll talk with you very soon.
All right, Matt, thank you. Have a good day.
Alex Bozich with us on Thursdays. We'll head to a commercial break, come back and wrap things up talking about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series for the weekend. Still some tickets available and some good games ahead as Indiana, the girls and boys, will play in Owensboro on Friday and the return game Saturday night at Southport High School this coming Saturday. So just a few days away tomorrow. In fact, the series officially gets underway between the Hoosier State and the Bluegrass State. We'll talk more about that next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on this Thursday edition of the program, Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, tomorrow down in Owensboro, 6 o'clock, the first game. That's the girls' game. It looks like tickets are still available. The game will be played at the Owensboro Sports Center, and tickets can be purchased online at owensborotickets.com. Again, owensborotickets.com. And then Southport, still tickets for that game as well. This year the game being played at Southport High School with Bankers Life undergoing some construction during the summer months, but you can buy those tickets at southportcardinals.com. So if you want to go see some of the locals, Cooper Jacoby, Trey Kaufman, Wren, tomorrow night in Owensboro, Saturday night in Indianapolis or in Southport, you can do so at owensborotickets.com and southportcardinals.com for the Saturday game. I did see this week, with all the All-Star stuff going on, an interesting file that had all of the All-Stars over the years by school. New Albany with 21 All-Stars all-time in the Indiana-Kentucky series. Jeffersonville right behind the Bulldogs locally. They had 19 All-Stars over the years in that series. Floyd Central with 5, and obviously a number of schools with other amounts of All-Stars. Silver Creek with 5 as well to match Floyd Central. But it's just amazing. If you look at the all-time record between New Albany and Jeff in boys basketball, it's amazing how close it is. And you even look at things like state championships and sectionals and regionals, and even how many All-Stars the teams, the programs have placed in the Indiana-Kentucky series. And it's nip and tuck there, 21-19, New Albany with 2 more than Jeffersonville. But man, some real talent as you go through all the individual names that have been on the in the All-Star Series just from those two programs over the years. It's just absolutely amazing. And I did find this interesting. Combined all-time, boys and girls, Kokomo has the most All-Stars ever in the state. They had 28. Marion is right behind at 27. Anderson at 26. The most boys All-Stars in the state, Marion number one there. They had 24 All-Stars on the Indiana boys all-star team over the year. Muncie Central with 23. Then you've got a number of schools on down the list that are tied the rest of the way. But the number of girls, the leading number of girls all-stars comes from Indianapolis Ben Davis with 13. So just kind of a look at across the area at or across the state at all-stars and who has really had the most number of all-stars placed on the team. I found this interesting as well. Most Mr. Basketballs in the state of Indiana, not really a great number, but 4, Anderson, Marion, North Central, and Washington. Of course, the Zeller brothers really help with that number. They all are tied for the most Mr. Basketballs in the state with 4 apiece. So Anderson, Marion, North Central, Washington, wow, some great history there in those high school basketball programs in our state over the years. There's no question about that. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. I'll be back with you Friday. We've got one more day of the Hoosier Report to wrap up this week. We'll talk tomorrow with Dylan Wallace, sports editor of the Seymour Tribune. Also, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join us in our Friday program as well. And don't forget, coming up on Saturday, semi-state baseball coverage on the Big X. Myself and P.K. Falkenstein will be in Mooresville all day, 12:40 pregame for Borden Shackamack, beginning in the 1A game at 1 p.m. And then when that concludes, we'll stick around and have Providence taking on University from Indianapolis in the second game, the 2A semi-state game. Can we get one or two locals from Providence or Borden to a state baseball championship next week? And those games, by the way, the state finals in baseball, will either be Monday or Tuesday, a week from this Monday or Tuesday, at Victory Field in Indianapolis. Talk with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.